welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today we will talk about seasonal allergies, and I have two special nationally and internationally known guests. My first guest, Dr. Fred Pescatore, MD, is a traditionally trained physician who also holds a Master's of Public Health and who practices nutritional medicine. He is the author of the best-selling book, Thinned for Good, and the number one best-selling children's health book, Feed Your Kids Well. His latest book is The Allergy and Asthma Cure. For 5 years, Dr. Fred was the Associate Medical Director of the Atkins Center for Complementary Medicine before starting his own medical center with extremely busy and popular practices in New York City and Dallas, Texas. Dr. Fred is internationally recognized as a health, nutrition, and weight loss expert who often travels around the world lecturing in such exotic areas as India and Japan, usually returning with some new medical techniques to share with his patients. He also lectures across the United States and is actively involved in clinical research. After medical school, Dr. Fred studied in Southeast Asia, India, Japan, Africa, and Europe. The techniques he gathered have become part of his broad knowledge of healing. He delights in adding to his knowledge and then sharing it with patients and colleagues. Dr. Fred is often called upon by major television and radio shows to be the medical expert of all things nutritional. His work has been featured on such shows as The View, The Today Show, Day and Date, The O'Reilly Factor, Extra, and many more. He has spoken on hundreds of radio shows across America. In fact, for years he was heard daily as the host of the number one health radio show in New York City called The Logical Alternative. He is now featured regularly on the radio show Healthy by Nature, a radio show in Dallas, Texas. Because of the respect he has earned in the nutritional supplement industry, Dr. Fred is a consultant for many firms and has been instrumental in developing and clinically testing many of the leading nutritional products. He is president of the AHCC Research Association, president-elect of the International and American Association of Clinical Nutritionists, member of the National Association of Physician Broadcasters, and belongs to many more professional organizations. Dr. Fred is the founder of Dr. Pescatore's Healthy for Good product line and wanted products that could live up to his high standards. Consequently, he started his own company. McNutt Oil is the first product to bear his brand. More information can be found at www.hamptonsdiet.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Fred, and I look forward to hearing natural ways to deal with allergies and asthma.
Well, thank you for having me on today.
Thank you, Dr. Fred. Now, can you briefly describe some main causes of allergies and asthma?
Well, there's an abundance of causes. I mean, it can be anything from seasonal, sort of pollen, hay fever, ragweed, trees, grasses, those types of things, to mold. Mold is a very big winter allergy, fall winter allergy. And then you could be allergic to things like foods. You can be allergic to a newspaper print. You can be allergic to just about anything. I mean, if there's something out there, somebody's allergic to it.
Mm-hmm.
So allergies can be caused by literally almost everything that you could ever come in contact with, including the clothes that you're wearing, including the air, including, I mean, some people are really, really very allergic. And I tend to put allergies and asthma sort of in the same boat, because they're really, asthma is sort of just the penultimate allergic reaction, really, when you think about how the body responds to it. So asthma is just really one manifestation of a potential allergic response.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then what are the most common symptoms of allergies?
Well, the most common symptoms of allergies really are either it can be on your skin with a contact dermatitis, a hive, an itch, something like that. It could be a runny nose. It can be itchy, watery eyes. It can be itchy ears, scratchy throat. Allergy symptoms runs the entire gamut. It can run all the way up to where your throat closes and you're in something called anaphylaxis, mm-hmm. where you have to go to the hospital, where it's a real emergency, where you need to give yourself the epinephrine and get yourself to a hospital very quickly. So the manifestations of the symptoms can be either something very mild. It can even be something as mild as just a fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling off today. You know, I'm sure you've heard that many times.
Right.
I'm just not feeling
mm-hmm.
right. That can be an allergic symptom. I mean, all the way to having bowel disturbances. That can be an allergic symptom, whether it's diarrhea and nausea or stomach upset or something like that. So there's really an entire host of allergic reactions from the very mundane to life-threatening.
Then can you tell us how our daily activities are impaired by allergies and asthma?
Well, our daily activities are impaired by allergies and asthma because oftentimes, well, if you take the case of asthma, you can't breathe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people have a very big difficulty breathing. So you can lose oxygen. You're not able to walk up a flight of steps. You can't leave the house. You can't go about your activities of daily living. So when it's allergies, it could be something as, well, I can't go to that person's house because they have a cat.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can't go outside today because the air pollution levels are too high, so it affects my breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many different ways as to how it can actually ruin your life. I mean, it can to the point where you may not be able to eat something. You may not be able to go to your grandmother's house. You know, I mean, there could be any one of a number of reasons how allergies and asthma can impede upon your quality of life.
Then what are some signs indicating that we should be tested for allergies or asthma?
Well, I think if you've got the interesting thing is because I test all of my patients for allergies because everybody's allergic to something.
Right.
So in order to decrease the inflammation in the body, you want to get rid of that allergen source because that is a source of inflammation. So you really need and inflammation can lead to a variety of things, anything from obesity to diabetes to heart disease, all sorts of things. So you really want to get rid of any inflammation that there can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to test people. And the problem with testing is, or that I find with testing, is that the tests always, I mean, they're not really very reliable because they only look at one thing. They look at IgE reactions to things. And that's just one component of the immune system. So you really don't want to just look at one component of the immune system because the immune system is comprised of IgE, IgA, IgM, complement, C1, C2, interleukins. It's a whole cascade of events that occur when you come in contact with an allergen.
Mm-hmm.
So most time doctors only do the skin prick testing, or sometimes they'll do blood testing, but again, that only looks at IgE. So it's really, I think, important to look at multiple different levels of your immune system to see what exactly you are responding to, because you want to know these things. It's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had never had allergies until Hurricane Isabel in 2003.
Uh-huh.
And I live on an island on the Chesapeake, and I had 3 feet of water through my house.
Wow.
And, of course, it was August, so there was no air conditioning and nothing. And so I had mold in the house.
Right.
But I wasn't, and so I went, I was tested, and I wasn't allergic to mold, but I was allergic to dust, cats, dogs, feathers, ragweed, not grass, and a variety of things. But they did test me. That was the first time I'd ever been tested.
Well, you know what a fun fact is the fact that people can be allergic to thunderstorms. Mm-hmm. And the reason, and I only bring that up because you bring up the hurricane, it's because the thunderstorm sucks so many different allergens up into its sort of funnel before it actually releases.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, sometimes thunderstorms can be a trigger for them to have an allergy or asthma attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember Sound of Music where the children got very frightened by the thunderstorm. Remember that?
Were they wearing their curtain dresses at the time?
No, this was before the curtain dresses. What a great movie.
Oh, yeah. No, that was. That's a true classic.
Right.
They don't make them like that anymore.
No, they don't. Mm-mm. Now, Dr. Fred, can you tell us some natural solutions that you recommend to your clients, patients?
Sure. Natural solutions are really quite, I think, the way to go. I mean, obviously, you've got to find out what your triggers are and get rid of them, right? So that's number one. Number two is you have to clean up your diet, because if you're eating sugar, simple carbohydrates, those are just inflammatory foods. So you've got to get rid of those. So get rid of those inflammatory foods. And then I think in terms of nutritional supplementation, one of my favorites is a supplement called pycnogenol.
Mm-hmm.
And pycnogenol is a French maritime pine tree bark extract.
Mm-hmm.
It's really an amazing nutritional supplement, and it acts like a super antioxidant. So it helps all the other antioxidants in your body to work better. So therefore, it's a natural anti-inflammatory. And there have been numerous studies looking at it on its effect of allergic symptoms and how it can decrease allergic symptomatology.
Mm-hmm.
And it also how it can increase breathing capacity. FEV1s, there have been studies that show that pycnogenol, just by taking 100 milligrams of pycnogenol a day, can increase your breathing capacity. So you can take deeper breaths, you can get more air in. So you're going to be able to potentially lessen the severity of your asthma attacks if you get them. So pycnogenol is definitely top of my list. Something else at top of my list is a probiotic. You need to have a good probiotic, something that keeps your gut healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And something like perilla leaf. I think perilla leaf is a really nice nutritional supplement to take that's really good for allergies. Stinging nettles is excellent for allergies. The citrus bioflavonoids are excellent for allergies. But really, my top favorite really truly is pycnogenol, because it'll help all the other ones work better.
Mm-hmm. Now, how successful are you at getting your patients to give up sugar?
Well, patients know when they walk in the door to my practice that that's what's going to happen. Because they've read my books, their friends have been to see me, that sort of thing. So so I would say 100% of the people are successful. 70% of them are successful in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's successful at doing it. It's just how long you manage to stay with it.
Right.
And honestly, once people get off sugar, it's only a few days that you need to get off sugar, and then you feel perfectly okay.
Right, yeah.
Your cravings for it go away. I think it's really, I mean, you have to realize sugar suppresses the immune system.
Right.
1 teaspoon of sugar suppresses the immune system by 54%. 2 teaspoons of sugar suppresses the immune system by 86%.
Wow.
The average American consumes 37 teaspoons of sugar every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're constantly suppressing our immune system,
mm-hmm.
which constantly leads to allergies, asthma, all of those types of symptoms. I throw in eczema, psoriasis, hives, all of that. They're all the same. They all work on the same mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can just get people to really realize that sugar really is a culprit, it really is a danger to our society. It's a menace. It's as bad as almost anything else, if not worse, than what we deal with on a daily basis.
Right. But it is difficult, the initial giving up. I haven't eaten sugar. Well, I ate a little bit over Christmas, but that was the first I'd eaten in about a year.
Right. I mean, I think there are certain holidays. I mean, even I'll eat sugar, you know, whether it's my birthday or whether it's Christmas. But it's not something I do on a daily basis or a monthly basis. It's few and far between. And that's really how we should keep sugar, as a treat, not as a daily treat.
Right,
but
right.
Something that's really seen as something, just like people in at the turn of the century did. Sugar was really expensive,
mm-hmm.
and so therefore it was a treat to to actually have something that was sweet.
And you're right. You don't miss it after you've been off it for a while, because I eat berries for breakfast. I prefer raspberries or blackberries, but if I can't get those, I have strawberries or blueberries on my cereal, and I usually have some pecans on top. And then I'll eat an apple or a piece of watermelon or an orange or some other piece of fruit at lunchtime.
At least something that's natural, at least something that has bioflavonoids in it, that actually has substances that actually can help heal the body, rather than sugar, which is an anti-nutrient.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar actually can leach vitamins out of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else to consider when you're thinking about, that piece of cake looks really good to me, as it's sucking the vitamins out of me.
Right. But I think our whole food supply right now is a mess as far as causing allergies, look at diabetes.
Sugar is the leading cause, causes 4 out of the 6 leading causes of death in America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's attributable to diabetes, heart disease, stroke, certain cancers,
mm-hmm.
all sorts of things. And just look at obesity alone and diabetes. And you've
mm-hmm.
got diabetes, which is the leading cause of blindness, the leading cause of amputation, the leading cause of kidney disease, which then leads to hypertension.
Mm-hmm.
So sugar is not in our best interest, yet we subsidize sugar to the tune of several billion dollars a year. We subsidize the growing sugar cane.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to think about that, folks. We have to think about what's healthy for us, what we need to do. I know our focus is on allergies and asthma, but go out and buy pycnogenol. It's a good anti-inflammatory as well.
Mm-hmm.
It really will just do the job for you. It's my favorite anti-inflammatory that there is out there. So
mm-hmm.
I really think it's important that people really get back to basics. I mean, it's just something, if you're going to take a multivitamin, which everybody should, and if you're going to take vitamin C, which everybody should, and certain other things, vitamin D, CoQ10,
mm-hmm.
pycnogenol is
mm-hmm.
right up there on my desert island supplements. If
mm-hmm.
I had to leave and go be on a desert island, pycnogenol would be there with
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to look at that, because that's one thing that I am not familiar with. I take a lot of supplements, but that's not one of them I didn't know about.
40 years of clinical research around the world. It's
mm-hmm.
really pretty amazing,
mm-hmm.
the fact that there's a company that's willing to do that much research on their product. So they actually know what it works for and what it doesn't,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of nice.
Right.
We don't often get that in the supplement world.
Right, right. Now, Dr. Fred, are there other things you would like to say before we look at your books and services and products?
No, the only thing I'd like to sum up by saying is that you don't have to suffer with allergies and asthma, and that's why the book is called The Allergy and Asthma Cure. You can cure yourself of these things. You do not have to be stuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
So just please, please take control. Take charge of your health. That's all I ask people, and that's why I'm so pleased to be able to be on shows like this, because people who listen to shows like this really want to take control and charge of themselves.
Right, right. Then will you tell us about your books? You have several, and also your products. I think that you're very picky about what you approve, and so what you approve has to be really good.
Extraordinarily picky about products. It takes a long time for me to be able to endorse a product,
mm-hmm.
and not just to endorse it, but to actually sell it on my website, and I have to make sure the sources are all natural and that they're not from polluted places like China. I'm not a very big fan
mm-hmm.
of Chinese products. I think Europe makes better products. That's why, again, pycnogenol French comes from a pure French maritime pine tree bark forest that's been untouched forever, things like that. That's why that's the supplements. I've written multiple books. I mean, my biggest bestseller was The Hamptons Diet. I mean, that was on the bestsellers list in England and Australia and Brazil and America and that sort of thing. And I've written The Hamptons Diet Cookbook, Feed Your Kids Well, Thin for Good, The Allergy and Asthma Cure, Boosting Your Health with Bacteria, because I think it's really
mm-hmm.
important that we learn that what all the good bacteria
mm-hmm.
that is for us.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple more projects on the back of my computer files right now that I'll be working on, that hopefully I'll get back to talk to you about one day.
Well, good. I hope you'll write something then on how you get these people to give up sugar, because from my many years as a public health nurse, out in the district, I was not always very successful in getting people to change unhealthy behaviors like smoking, sugar, and a lot of these things.
You've got to make people realize, or my job is to make people realize that sugar is as unhealthy for you as tobacco, excess alcohol use, drug use. It really is as deadly. It's
mm-hmm.
actually more deadly
mm-hmm.
than any of those things. Because most people, or not most people, but I would say most people generally tend to get over their drug habits or those types of really bad things because we shun them. They're shunned from society. You can't smoke around me. You can't smoke in this building. You can't do drugs in front of me. You can't do any of this. Yet we encourage sugar consumption. We encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's got to be discouraged, and it's got to be looked at. And obesity has to be looked at as horrifically as a drug addict. And until we get to that point where we say, I don't want you near me because you're obese, then and only then are we going to see major health changes in this country.
Right.
And I know that sounds harsh, especially coming from someone who has dedicated his life to helping overweight people overcome their problems.
Mm-hmm.
But until we get to that point where people are shunned for eating sugar, don't eat that ice cream sundae in front of me. Go away. That's
right.
horrible. I don't
right.
want to see it. That's kind of the mentality we have to have. And I know it sounds silly now, but think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Let it just sort of ponder and circulate and percolate in your brain for a little bit, and you'll see that it makes perfect sense.
Right. Now, Doctor, do you have products?
I do have products, and there are products that are on my website, which is drpescatore.com. I'm a big believer in a product called Macnut Oil, and there's a number of nutritional supplements that I private label, but I'm mostly a big believer in the books, and
mm-hmm.
products go along. I think people can find products that are affordable for them that are in the same vein. But if you go on my website, you'll see what I like and what I think is very healthy and good for you.
Right. Now, would you spell your name for the listeners?
Sure. It's P like Peter, E like Edward, S like Sam, C-A-T like Tom, O-R-E.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much. It's been very interesting, and I know it'll be helpful to the listeners. And I look forward to talking with you at another time about weight loss.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a real honor and pleasure.
Great. Thank you. My second guest, who is also an impressive physician and who is nationally known, is Dr. Lauren Feder. She is a Los Angeles-based physician who is in a private group practice specializing in primary care medicine, pediatrics, gynecology, pregnancy, natural childbirth, homeopathic medicine, holistic health, and natural parenting. She is known for her holistic approach and combines both traditional and homeopathic medicine with a holistic approach and is a frequent lecturer for parents and professionals. Dr. Feder has been seen nationally on various health-oriented television and radio programs, including most recently Oprah and Friends, interviewed by Dr. Oz. She is the author of Natural Baby and Child Care and The Parent's Concise Guide to Childhood Vaccines that was selected as Book of the Month by the Holistic Moms Network. More information can be found at www.drfeder.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Lauren, and I look forward to hearing about natural ways to deal with allergies.
Great.
Thank you. First, what are some types of allergies?
Well, allergies can come in all shapes and sizes, which is the good and the bad news,
mm-hmm.
because it can affect so many different organs of the body, Carl, starting with, let's say, digestion. A lot of people are talking about being allergic or even sensitive to certain foods.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, a lot of people are saying wheat, that I'm not tolerating wheat or even dairy, and that you can have a lot of symptoms in the digestive tract, you know, from simple bloating and indigestion to much more severe symptoms that really get in the way of one's daily way of living. Also, we can have allergy symptoms that affect more the respiratory system, mm-hmm. even starting with simple watery eyes and runny nose, which is not uncommon during hay fever season, depending on where you live, to, you know, sneezing, cough, even life-threatening wheezing and asthma. And then the skin can also present itself with allergy symptoms such as rash and hives and itching. And, you know, it goes on and on. And honestly, I feel in our mind and our spirit and our emotions, we can be affected by this, and it can affect our behavior from children to adults with crankiness, irritability, difficult to focus on tasks, school, and work. So it really can encompass a lot of areas of the body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then, Lauren, what are some signs and symptoms of allergies?
Well, signs and symptoms of allergies, again, it depends on really what part of the body that we're looking at. If we were talking about the digestive tract, and by the way, I always like to remind people that 70% of the immune system is found in the intestines and the digestive tract. Mm-hmm. So if our immunity is off at all or being challenged, that can also affect our digestion. So even, as I mentioned earlier, indigestion, even people having acid reflux, bloating, rumbling in the tummy, gas, constipation, even diarrhea can also be signs and symptoms. If we went then to the respiratory tract, starting with just simple watery eyes and runny nose, all the way to the dark circles that we see under actually the eyes of a lot of children and adults, and recurrent respiratory tract and eye and ear infections. And under the skin, you can have, as I mentioned earlier, rash. You can have hives, a lot of itching, swelling, just feeling uncomfortable in your skin, not tolerating certain clothes very well. And all these allergies can stem from things in our environment, meaning that the body is used to having these things that are usually seen as not being toxic. And all of a sudden, the body is rereading this as being something as threatening. And so what it does is it stimulates part of our, for example, immune system to mount an attack. And then we get these signs and symptoms of allergies. So everything is maybe turned a little bit upside down. It's important to have these immune symptoms when we're really fighting a bug. But when it's a simple thing like a dust mite, we should really be able to tolerate it without having a huge reaction in mm-hmm. the body.
Mm-hmm. But I don't very well.
No. And it can be very annoying to people, and from children all the way to adults. And it can be seasonal. It can be daily. It could be nighttime. It could be after eating something, breathing something. And sometimes people know there are certain triggers, and other times people have no idea at all.
Mm-hmm. I developed mine after Hurricane Isabel when I had mold in my house, but I'm not allergic to mold, but it's dust, cats, dogs, feathers, and so I have learned how to deal with it, you know, my own way.
And you know what I find interesting as well is sometimes we will remove the triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Someone might move from that house that has mold, or mm-hmm. the walls are ripped out or whatnot. But it's strange, sometimes we will continue to have the symptoms even when the trigger has been removed. And I feel that it's almost as if the body has these memory in the cells, and that we are creatures of habit from every level, from our small cells all the way up to, you know, lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be very, very difficult to treat.
Right. Then, Lauren, what are some natural things that we can do to help deal with the symptoms that we have?
Well, that's a very good question. Number one, if one knows the triggers, of course we want to try and remove the triggers. Sometimes people are allergic to everything around them, which makes it very, very difficult. So number one is, if you know, have a known trigger, to try and remove the trigger. If somebody has mold, as you mentioned, Carl, in their house, it would be either to get that taken care of by professionals or move if it's a rental. So things like that. Number two, some people do go to the allergist to have certain tests done to see if you can figure out exactly what you're allergic to. Sometimes that's helpful, and sometimes it actually is not. There are other allergy tests in other labs, which are maybe more alternative blood tests, to see about additional food allergies. So those are ways as well. A lot of people really are interested in more of the natural approach because, let's face it, a lot of our medications already have side effects, and a lot of people who are dealing with allergies are sensitive anyway. So a lot of times they're finding they're being sensitive to our standard medications, and that goes with children all the way to adults. So number one is, let's say it has something to do with wheat, adding a food allergy. We want to try and then avoid wheat. We call that, let's say, a gluten-free diet, a GF diet. Sometimes people can tolerate other forms of grains or wheats, like spelt or quinoa, and that would be something to talk with a practitioner about. Sometimes it's not wheat itself, but if we were able to actually soak our grains, which a lot of our ancestors did, and I'm getting very interested in that about foods from, it comes from the Weston Price Foundation, a dentist who discovered a lot about nutrition and our ancestors and healthy eating. That was way back from the 1930s. So the idea of soaking our grains, a lot of people may not tolerate whole wheat bread, but they may be able to tolerate a sprouted grain bread, meaning it's almost like it's been slightly pre-digested before it's been baked. So that's one way to look at things. Let's look at people who are allergic, let's say, to milks, which a lot of people are. But what I'm learning about is there is a very large movement to bring back the idea of raw milk. This is for people who do consume dairy, though, or who want to consume dairy. That raw milk made from reputable dairies is very high quality and is known to be low or hypoallergenic. It is, for example, the milks, even our organic milk that is pasteurized, what happens with the process of the heating is the molecular structure of the dairy changes, making it more allergenic to the body. So these are some ways to shift and adapt things for us. For example, I'm a homeopath in addition to being a physician, so I like to use homeopathic medicines. I'm going to give you one example. When I'm cutting an onion in the kitchen, it can be very irritating to my nose and my eyes, cause a watery, running nose. My eyes are irritated. Everyone's quite familiar with that. But actually, when I'm starting to come down with a cold, or I tend to be somewhat allergic to certain cats as well as horses, I'll get a very, very watery, runny nose. It can also be congested, and it's irritating. I might go to the health food store and buy a homeopathic medicine. It's called Allium Cepa, A-L-L-I-U-M-C-E-P-A. And you know what that is, Carl? It is a teeny or micro dose of red onion, and that's what homeopathy is. It's taking something that is in its natural form, can cause an irritation, let's say onion, and then when it's prepared homeopathically by reputable homeopathic pharmacies, it's diluted and diluted. And so it brings out the healing qualities of a natural substance, but it's a microdose, so it actually heals the symptoms that it can cause. So when I take Allium Cepa, I can go around horses and cats with long hair and feel very comfortable. I also want to mention that I was slightly allergic to my cat when she arrived at my doorstep. And interestingly, and she likes to sleep right on my pillow next to my face, I'll add, that when I stayed and was patient, and over the months, after 3 or 4 months, I was no longer allergic. My body adapted to being close to her. So I felt very positive about that. So there's many things that we can do in holistic medicine, and I encourage people to go out there and look either in homeopathic or holistic books My book for children is called Natural Baby and Child Care. There's many others, websites of things that people can do, and sometimes in conjunction with standard medicines, and maybe with the goal of getting off all medicines altogether, because the holistic approach really is to try and work with patients, as we do in our office, to try and strengthen the body to deal with these issues so we're no longer so sensitive to things that maybe we could tolerate in the past,
mm-hmm.
like certain foods and dander and certain seasons.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Allium Zipa.
Yes.
I use ragweed tincture, which is probably based on the same principle.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And it seems to work for allergies to cats, dogs, feathers, dust, all of the things that I have. So I've been very happy after I discovered that. It was something.
That's wonderful. Can I add one more thing? Oh, because we didn't mention this yet, is the idea of allergy shots, which is a very common approach in standard medicine by our allergists. And, you know, they can offer somebody relief. However, to go on a weekly or a regular basis to the doctor is very time-consuming. And in addition to getting a shot, these shots can be very allergenic, which is the reason why we have to sit and wait in the doctor's office 20 to 30 minutes after receiving an allergy shot. And I have witnessed very severe reactions following an allergy shot. And this is not scientifically proven, but I have had a hunch in speaking with some of my colleagues that we are starting to see a plethora of children having these life-threatening allergies, let's say to peanuts and certain other choice foods. And I have started to notice a pattern that a lot of these children's parents had allergy shots when they were younger. And we know that allergies can certainly be passed on in families, but I'm just wondering if maybe certain treatments have triggered a rebound effect, if you will. It's not scientifically proven, but it's something that I'm starting to notice a pattern with in my office.
Well, you mentioned raw milk, and I grew up on raw milk. We would go to the dairy with an aluminum pail, and they would give us the milk, and then my mother always skimmed the cream off for coffee. So we were drinking skimmed raw milk back in the early 40s during the war years. But we also had our own garden, grew our own fruit and vegetables, and grew pigs and all of our own things. So we avoided a lot of the growth hormones, the pesticides, all of the things that are not uncommon in our food supply today.
That's, you know, that's a wonderful point that you brought up, the idea of food, because typically if we are eating a fruit or vegetable that is not deemed organic, then it probably is genetically modified.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I really don't know how well those are being digested in the body. There's a lot of speculation now in our community. A lot of people now, for example, I live in the city, but we do have in our own garden some berries and vegetables, and it's a wonderful thing for children, even in the city, to grow up with. And if you live in an apartment, you could have a container planting of, like, tomatoes. And what's wonderful around the country is the growth of local farmers' markets. That we're witnessing, that people are really demanding their food to be more organic, their food to be locally planted and grown and eating in season. These are all things that are important for health and to minimize, prevent, or even avoid having allergies for the future. And that goes along with products like raw milk, which used to be a staple in our diet. Unfortunately, in the 1920s, our animals were not very well kept, and raw milk got a very bad reputation, not so much because it was raw, but because how it was handled. And for that reason, people were getting sick. And for that reason, it made sense to pasteurize the milk. However, we know that our animals are no longer well kept,
right,
even if it in the pasteurized realm, and the standards are very low because we know, oh, it's going to be pasteurized. But honestly, the truth is there's been many recalls on pasteurized milk. And as I mentioned earlier, raw milk products, raw dairy products that are made from reputable companies and groups. I know a lot of people here in Southern California, I know it's not local, even get their raw dairy products from the Amish across the country, and it's a very high quality. We have two raw dairies in the state of California now, and I know that their standards and of processing and keeping the milk and the cows themselves are of very high quality. And so that makes me feel comfortable serving raw milk to my family and telling people about that, especially for people who have allergies.
Right. And I'm wondering, Lauren, if maybe my start in life with the, actually it was organic food, because we grew it ourselves, and I think we may have used manure, but I'm not sure, for fertilizer, but there wasn't any of the pesticides and the growth hormones and anything else in the food, plus the raw milk, and the air was a lot better, the water was less polluted then, and so forth. If that may have accounted for my not having allergies until 2003, when we had Hurricane Isabel, and I was exposed to the mold and all because the water came through my house.
Right. I'm sure it has something to do with it. And if I can also add, in the 1940s, you probably weren't sitting in front of the TV for hours at a time playing video games.
No. In fact, we didn't have a TV.
Right. Well, there you go.
Right.
We'd like to encourage our children to get out a little bit. I am a mother of two boys, and I like to think of myself as a mother of moderation. We were the last family on the block to get video games that I allowed, and I try to, you know, encourage my boys to get outside. Of course, it's different now these days. We, you know, when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, we could roam the streets and hang out with friends. Nowadays, we have to be a little bit more careful with our children, and we like to keep them closer and under our watchful eye. So they're not as free to roam. And we call our kids these days having a nature deficit disorder as well, meaning they're not as able to go outside and roam. And that may have something to do with kids being more fidgety in school these days because they're not able to expend that extra energy that they have.
I'm wondering if another factor might not have been that we didn't have air conditioning. So our physical environment was pretty constant from inside to outside. Now we're in the car air conditioned, we're out in the heat. We're in the house air conditioned, we're out in the heat.
Yes.
And does that have an effect on allergies?
Well, it absolutely does. I know people that cannot tolerate air conditioning, and I know different parts of the country, my being from Southern California, I don't rely on air conditioning as much, but I know when I'm going to places like back east during the summer, I actually like to bring layers because I find that the buildings are kept quite cool, and I think that's important for people to also make sure that if you feel at all chilled, and let's say you're in a work environment where you may not have much of a say over the air conditioning, to dress accordingly. And it may not be with open shoes, or you might bring extra clothes, you know, at the workplace so that one is comfortable. Because if we're getting a chill or whatnot, that makes us more susceptible to having problems. And then you might end up getting sick. You may end up going to the doctor. And I'd have to say one thing we haven't touched upon too much is the use of medications. That can lead to problems, side effects, sensitivities, allergies, whether it be, let's say, an antibiotic. It happens. You're on a course, 10-day course of amoxicillin, and day 8, all of a sudden, a child or an adult is coming down with a full body rash. Chances are it's probably the antibiotic. And we also see that with other medications. A vaccination is a medication as well. which involves the immune system. We know in research that allergies are higher in children who have been vaccinated as well. So these are all things that we take seriously. So, for example, if somebody is having a vaccination, I recommend using homeopathic remedies, medicines, following a vaccine to try and minimize or prevent any side effects. So we do that. We always make sure if we are having a vaccination that our children, the group that's more heavily vaccinated, but it's important for adults too, that you are 100% if you are having an elective vaccination, unless it's an emergency, of course. So these things are important. If someone has been on an antibiotic, I recommend that somebody follow it with a course or two of probiotics, which is good to replenish that healthy bacteria that lines our gut that has been compromised after taking an antibiotic.
That is so important because I was on a long series of antibiotics for a prostate, they thought, infection. And I didn't know at the time, and my doctor didn't tell me about the probiotics. So I ended up with a yeast infection.
Yes.
And then my doctor tells me, men don't have yeast infections. And I said, well, maybe they don't, but I think I'm a man, and I know I have a yeast infection.
Yes, yes. And I want to say, if I can add, they absolutely can have yeast infections. And he or she was probably referring to the fact that women can get yeast infections more commonly in the vaginal canal.
Mm-hmm.
However, with a man's anatomy, especially if a man is intact, meaning that not circumcised, you can get that very similar yeasty complaint under the foreskin.
Mm-hmm.
However, yeast can also come up in a form of a rash. Whitening of the tongue is a very good symbol of that you have something going on in the gut. Fatigue. There's a whole list of symptoms of what we call candida.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just male or female thing. It's a human thing.
Right, right. And it's something that I don't wish on anyone.
Correct.
I mean, it's a long-term irritation.
Yes.
And I treated mine naturally because I don't like to use medications. But I am no longer able to eat sweets or not very often. And I know that health-wise, that's very good not to be eating sugar and cake and pie and the simple carbohydrates. But on the other hand, they're so good.
Yes, yes. And though people are finding and discovering recipes from our ancestors where one can still make healthy sweets using the unrefined sugars in moderation, fruit juice sweetened things, compotes, you know, in moderation as well.
Now, Lauren, could you tell us a little bit more about genetically modified foods? Because I think that is so important, and it doesn't come up very often, and I think that it needs to be discussed more often.
Yes, I feel that if you see a label on packaging that says non-GMO, chances are it's not genetically modified. GMO stands for genetically modified organisms. By the way, I once was looking for an apartment, and I had a tour of an apartment, and it was full of corn husks, and that was really intrigued me. Obviously, it left a memory. And I asked the gentleman who lived, what is all this with corn husks? And he was an engineer in the agricultural field who is a scientist in trying to find out the right hybrids for plants, so that by genetically modifying our plants, farmers, all these technological advancements, have had to change their foods because they want to push production, meaning have more production, have it quicker, have it be look appealing and possibly even taste good, although that has been questionable, meaning so we can get our food supplies. And as we have fast food in the stores, they want fast production. And so they have changed genetically modified plants, and so they're maybe less susceptible to viruses and bacteria as well. So there's positive things, but on the negative side, this was not the way Mother Nature had intended certain plants to be. So big offenders of this could be soy and corn and loads of other foods as well. Number one, we know that these GMOs can trigger allergic reactions. And even though they're designed to, you know, resist weed killers and whatnot, it's causing as we call it, antibiotic resistance, a super weed resistance. So it's a whole mess. And as I mentioned earlier, any food that is not organic is probably considered genetically modified unless proven otherwise. And I think that certainly is a big problem.
Right.
And I thank you very much for having me on the show today, Carl. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Now, before you leave, Lauren, will you tell us about your books and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Of course. And you know what's so wonderful these days is the world is so much smaller on a positive note with technology.
Right.
And I think the internet is a wonderful way. Our website is drfetter.com. That's spelled D-R, F as in Frank, E-D-E-R.com, D-R-F-E-D-E-R.com. And that's my website that's devoted to holistic health, natural parenting, and homeopathy for children as well as adults. And my book is, I have two books, Natural Baby and Child Care, and my second book is The Parent's Concise Guide to Childhood Vaccinations. And this is meant for parents as well as people who don't have children to look at things in a new way as we're all becoming much more open to using the best of both worlds as we can straddle the fence of 21st century technology, as well as the gems that our ancestors have used for generations.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Lauren. I appreciate this, and it's been very interesting, and I know it'll be very informative to the listeners.
Thank you very much, Carl. It's been
a
pleasure.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I thank you for joining me for this program on Natural Ways to deal with seasonal allergies. In the time left, I would like to tell you about my website and also another allergy resource that may be of value to you. My website is www.holistichealthshow.com, and the day after each show, I place it on my website on my blog. In addition, each Wednesday I place the latest research for the topic of the series being discussed. For example, now it is seasonal allergies. Then every Friday I place the latest research on cancer on my blog. I also have some ebooks for sale and one CD finished that I will get on the site shortly on smoking cessation. Another is finished and will follow on a holistic approach to stress reduction and sleep. I also have a link to Dr. Bianca Gorilla's Allergy Elimination Diet. Dr. Gorilla is a naturopathic physician who uses the Allergy Elimination Diet successfully to treat a variety of conditions, including ADHD, anxiety, arthritis, asthma, immune diseases, brain fog, chronic congestion and earache, fatigue, gastrointestinal conditions, gastroesophageal reflux disease, headache, hormonal-related imbalances, insomnia, joint pain, and a variety of other conditions. The diet has been used by naturopathic doctors for decades, and a great number of cases you'll find that by discovering and then eliminating the food sensitivities from your diet, you will improve your overall health, reduce your chronic health symptoms, and feel amazingly better. Find out more by going to www.allergyeliminationdiet.com or click on the link on my website. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a good day.